Greetings everyone, I welcome you again, and today's topic it's going to be something different from microbiology, and I'm again very happy to discuss this short duration of time with you guys in terms of worthy discussion of important topics. So today's topic is breast carcinoma. Alright, so let's not waste the time and continue with the important things. The most common type, the most common sort of epidemiological type of breast carcinoma is sporadic, followed by familial. Alright, sporadic is most common. Then histologically and pathologically, there are two different things. In histological findings, it's more of an invasive ductal carcinoma, and in pathology, it's more of an adenocarcinoma. So you don't have to mix up these points, pathological and histopathological. All right, on histology and pathology, getting it? Most common site is, as you all know, upper outer quadrant. Most common route of spread is lymphatic, but the most common spread to bones is going to be hematogenous. And what sort of wounds? Lumbar vertebrae to be most common, and out of all the vertebrae, lumbar to be very, very, very common, followed by femur, followed by thoracic cage. Thoracic vertebra, followed by ribs, followed by skull. Let me repeat it again: lumbar vertebra, followed by femur. After femur is going to be thoracic vertebra. It's going to be then after that ribs and skull. So, and since we are discussing secondaries to the bone, let's see the most common cancers causing secondaries to the bone, right? So the most common cancer causing secondaries to the bone is, most common is carcinoma prostate, followed by breast, alright, followed by RCC, renal cell carcinoma, and then followed by lung, followed by adrenals. I hope this is something important and something different. So it's prostate, followed by breast, followed by RCC, lungs and adrenal. Let's move ahead. Best prognosis. What are the best prognosis? It's luminal type A. What is luminal type A? We are going to see in further sessions, but not right now. So it's luminal type A, that is invasive tubular sort of thing. And the luminal type A, if I talk about in terms of receptor things, it's HER2 new negative. Alright, it's HER2 negative, but ERPR positive. ERPR, we already know, it's the receptor based thing. So it is estrogen receptor positive and progesterone receptor positive. Complications. There are many complications, but the important thing is lymphedema, which is most distressful, and early post complication is seroma. Alright. And most common nerve injury during modified radical mastectomy. Most common nerve, that is second intercostobrachial nerve. All right, that's the thing. Let's talk about a bit of risks. There are two types of risk: non-modifiable and modifiable. The non-modifiable risk are that first menarche, last menopause, the menses, that is age of menopause, BRCA gene, history, family history, radiation exposure, or nulliparity. These are not in our hands, right? All these things. But the other things which are in our hands is the lifestyle, obesity, sedentary, smoking. Okay. Age during the first birth child, and OCPs. OCPs, not the newer one, but the older generation's OCPs. These are important, especially in night shift workers. Also, it is a bit of risk because the night shift workers has increased amount of estrogen. They show that it has been seen that in the night shift workers, it shows estrogen surge. Histologically, LCIS, atypical ductal carcinoma, and florid epitheliosis. These sort of things have increased. That is LCIS, lobular carcinoma in situ, atypical ductal or atypical lobular hyperplasia. Okay, and florid epitheliosis. Florid epitheliosis is a very important thing which is commonly seen in the questions asked these days. Florid epitheliosis. Alright, so let's move ahead. Now it's time to talk about genes. Okay, we are going to talk about two important things, that BRCA1 and BRCA2. Alright, I'll talk about the BRCA1 first and then we'll compare it with BRCA2. Alright, the first BRCA1 gene is autosomal dominant, and since it is BRCA1, elder one, because BRCA1 comes first, it's the elder one, it lies on the 17th chromosome with the on Q arm of the 17th chromosome, right? So that's the thing. It carries 40% risk for the carcinoma of breast, and it's seen only in females. And it also carries a more risk on for the ovary cancers, colon cancer, and prostate cancers. All right. Bilaterality can be seen. That's really important. Bilaterality can be seen. It can be seen in young, prevalence in young, and it is ER, PR negative. It is ERPR negative. BRCA1 is ERPR negative. That should be very, very careful while watching this. All right. Now let's talk about BRCA2. The first thing, BRCA2, the chromosomal locus is chromosome 13. Chromosome 13 is for BRCA2. बाद में आया छोटा होगा, that's why. Okay. Overall, it carries a lower risk than BRCA1. 25 to 30% risk in breast, and 25 to 30% risk in ovaries, but it increased the risk in other cancers. Like in BRCA1, it carried a cancer of ovaries. Apart from ovaries, it was colon and prostate, right? But it's not like that. It carries colon, carries prostate, carries pancreas, and it carries stomach. And it also, what it targets is bilaterality. It targets bilaterality. It is also seen in youngs, but it is ERPR positive. Therefore, it's going to have a better prognosis. And ERPR is something what it's going to be, we'll see it in a later time. One more thing, BRCA2. 2 means 2, so it involves both male and female. Familial association condition. The different sort of family association what can be seen. Just names are important. First is Leaf-Romney syndrome. It is P53, all right. Second is Peetz Jeghers, all right. It's, it consists of polyps, hand and foot pigmentation, perioral buccal melanosis, all right. That's the thing. Cowden's syndrome. Cowden's syndrome, we know it's autosomal dominant. Peetz Jeghers was also autosomal dominant, right? And what was the important thing in this thing is about Peetz Jeghers. P for Peetz, Peetz Jeghers. And it stands for pro square. What does pro mean? Pro means it involves proximal jejunum during polyps. All right. And other thing is it involves prostate. So, Peutz Jeghers is a pro square, right? It's a pro sort of thing, right? The gene involved is STK11. Cowden syndrome. It is also a familial thing. There's autosomal dominant again. 10th P chromosome, PTEN gene. Also carries a risk of GI polyps. Apart from this, retardation, thyroid and breast cancer, and tricholymoma. Tricholymoma is the second most common feature, so you don't have to forget tricholymoma when you're talking about Cowden's. Cowden's tricholymoma. Alright, so let's move ahead. So we have discussed the familial conditions. Okay, one more thing which we forgot to discuss is ataxia telangiectasia gene. Ataxia telangiectasia gene. It's also called as Lewis Barr syndrome, and it's autosomal recessive. All right. So, what are we supposed to do? Risk prevention. In this prevention, if I see from the BRCA aspect, the most important thing for the email which is to be done is breast removal, mastectomy, prophylactic bilateral mastectomy, all right, and the other one is bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy plus mastectomy. But it's very traumatic for the females, because we have seen in BRCA most of the females are of a young age, so it's going to be very traumatic. Her sexual life, her reproductive life is going to be shattered like anything. So what we do is this is something if the female wants it, it's a thing that which can be provided. But what is done for the females in a normal protocol? So what we do is active surveillance. That is, those female with the high risk are served on the surveillance actively. All right. So at when the female reaches 18 years of age, she is taught self breast examination. There are different ways of palpating breast, and in the concentric manner, in the variegated up and down manner. So there are different methods. And that I'll also request you to look to the Google and Google out the different ways of breast examination. It can be a potential question in terms of clinical skills, right? And So at the 18 years of age, on the 6th day of menses, we start the close surveillance. Then we come to the clinical examination at 25 years of age. Clinical examination is 6 monthly basis, all right? Then we start screening. Clinical examination is seeing the symptoms and all, and we can look up for the markers as well, right? But it's not that important, because marker plays a role in a later life. That is at 25 years of age, so more of a clinical thing. Screening is to be done annually, and it is MRI which is to be carried out annually. Okay, MRI annually at 25 years of age. In high, what we are talking is high risk patients, right? And screening with CA125 factor annually at 25 years of age. Okay, so what are we do? What are we supposed to do? 18 years self risk examination at 6th day of the menses. Screening in both the ways, that is CA125 as well as MRI, both at the age of 25, and it's to be done annually. All right, but what about a normal individual? Like there is a risk in normal individuals as well. So what are we going to do? We have to go with annual mammogram at 45 years of age. At 45 years of age. Second thing, if the female is at high risk and we are seeing a bit of thing, so we can start with a chemo prevention. The most popular, it's the most popular sort of prevention, risk, high risk prevention. So tamoxifen can be given, but the most important side effect of tamoxifen is hot flushes. And let me tell you what's the reason of hot flushes in the female's body. It's a estrogen withdrawal. 2 to 4 minutes is the episode which goes on, and can be seen in postmenopausal females as well, right? Chemo prevention. Adverse effects can be, like tamoxifen has more of an action on both the things, breast as well as uterus, right? So tamoxifen is but tamoxifen has a better action, so it is more of a preferred. But it is a cause of delayed endometrial carcinoma, and it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous complication which cannot be ruled out or which cannot be ignored is deep venous thrombosis. So these sort of drugs should not be given in a DVT patients as well. Let me make this thing very clear. Estrogen supplements or estrogen receptor supplements are not to be given, are not to be given. All right. Let me make it clear. Are not to be given in what? In the patients who already had the episode of any sort of vascular abnormality like DVT or these sort of things, right? Now let me talk about a small thing called STAR trial. What is a STAR trial? It was a trial regarding a comparison between tamoxifen and raloxifen. All right, and still tamoxifen is more of a preferred thing. All right, so what are we going to see is a risk predicting score. Risk predicting score. So risk predicting score versus Gale model. All right, Gale. Age, sex, race. That is what we see. All right, so. Apart from it, what we see is age at first live birth, number of FNA or biopsies, and number of first degree relatives with carcinoma breast. But the important thing which is to be taken care about is the gene. It is a no gene model. It carries no gene to testify or to calculate the risk. So it is a gene free model, and it can be asked as a question, and it has been asked in past times that which of the following models or which of the following factors are not present in a gene. All right, so Gale model is without gene, because within few minutes we're going to discuss some other models which are containing BRCA and other genes. So the other models risk predicting scores is BRCA Pro, name itself is telling, Burka Pro, Claus, Cuff, COUGH, Cuff, and Tyrer QC. All these are BRCA, another gene including method. Other one is SINE 84. It is Scottish Intercollege Guidelines Network. That's not of an important thing. It's just a fancy name, SINE 84. So I thought to make this thing into your mind. All right. So this was a risk predicting score. So I think we have discussed a lot of things in terms of a general coverage of breast carcinoma. So let's take it more into the deeper aspect, that is carcinoma breast and its classification. The more of the classification, importantly, it is done on the basis of two things, that is in situ and invasive, right? In situ and invasive. What in situ consists of is, in situ consists of is DCIS, that is ductal carcinoma in situ and lobular carcinoma in situ. Okay, ductal carcinoma in situ and lobular carcinoma in situ. According to the latest updates, LCIS is not at all considered as a malignant lesion. It is now a sort of pre-malignant lesion, right? And DCIS has different forms like papillary, cribriform, solid, comedo. Cribriform we can understand on histopathology, it will show sieve-like appearance, all right? So these sort of things we are supposed to know. Other thing is invasive, all right? And let me tell you, ductal is much more common than lobular. The ductal carcinoma, either whether it is invasive or in situ, both of them are 90% in the prevalence with respect to overall carcinoma breast, and the lobular is just 10%. All right, so that's the thing. What other things we're supposed to know? Carcinoma in situ. Carcinoma in situ is, it's covered by basement membrane. It's multifocal. All right. What is the criteria of multifocal or multicentric? There are two different criteria, two different names. One is called as multifocal and one is multicentric. All right, so how come we can see, first of all, when we take up a breast, when two tumors are less than 4 centimeter apart, they are multifocal. But when they are more than 4 centimeter apart in the distance, they are multicentric. But the quadrants have nothing to do with it. Quadrants kaise koi lena dena nahi hai. Agar do tumors aas paas hain aur alag alag quadrants mein hai but 4 cm se kam hai, it is multifocal. All right, it is irrespective of the quadrant. Theek hai, so let us discuss something about LCIS and DCIS. These are something important, and one liner questions can be framed, although the times of one liners are gone, I suppose. But still, it's important to cover. First is age group, alright? Age group. Important. First of all, the predilections. LCIS is mainly for females. DCIS seen in both males and females. Also, males mein aur kya cheez thi, what we saw, that is BRCA2. Okay? Age group, more than 50% and at least more than 60% in LCIS are perimenopausal. Site in LCIS, bilaterality is seen. They are bilateral. LCIS is bilateral. It is multifocal and multicentric. Okay. They are incidental findings because that is asymptomatic. Apart from this, they consist of a mucoid globule. What they consist is of a mucoid globules. LCIS shows mucoid globule in cytology with neighborhood calcification. Okay, so this is the very important finding we are not supposed to miss. Let me come repeat it again for you guys. LCIS is seen in females. More than 60% or 66% of females are affected, which are perimenopausal. They are perimenopausal. Bilaterality is seen with multicentric and multifocal. Bilaterality with multicentric and multifocal, but as it is asymptomatic thing, so it is more of an incidental finding. Mucoid lobules can be seen in cytology with neighborhood discharge. With neighborhood calcification. Mammography is something not sensitive for it, so investigation of choice becomes TrueCut, as well as for the localization we are going to do MRI. Okay, so these are the things. So if we discuss about DCIS, we already discussed it can be seen in male and female both, but and seen in 33% of perimenopausal females, right? Perimenopausal females, more of a unilateral thing with multifocality. Multifocality, what was the point? That two tumors are less than 4 centimeter apart. It's not an incidental finding because it produces symptoms, mass, it's causing pain and discharge. 80% show CRB2 positive, okay, with intratumoral calcification. Let me make it clear again, in the LCIS it was a neighborhood calcification around the mucoid globule, but here it is intratumoral. Tumor ke andar aapko calcification milega, which will make mammography highly sensitive for the diagnosis. But IOC is still going to be true cut, localization is still going to be MRI, right? So these were the things which we discussed, and it's time to discuss some of the important scores. Important scores, prognostic index, that is Venn nice index. Venn nice index, it's important. If Venn nice score is more than 8 or 9, it's going to be mastectomy. Let me tell you one thing, when we treat the breast cancer, our maximum or important approach is of the conservation of breast. Breast is an organ of cosmesis. They're beautiful and they should not be distorted or damaged after the treatment, right? And so most of the treatments, most of the incision on the breast are very important related to the cosmesis, all right? They bear a very cosmetical importance. So when it comes to the breast carcinoma, it's very important to take care of the cosmesis. So breast conservation surgery in any carcinoma is important, but how are we going to do it? That is something we're going to see. But before that, let us see what are the different things which we can take care of. First is Venn nice prognostic index. We are going to see all these prognostic index we are going to decide, and that these make the things clear that what are we supposed to do. There are three important prognostic index. First is Venn nice. Like, it's not possible for me to discuss each and every parameter, but you should be aware Venn nice prognostic index is used. Firstly, second one which is used is Nottingham's prognostic index. Third is Bloom Richardson grade. Okay, or it is all it. So these are three things. First is Venn nice, second one is Nottingham's prognostic index, and third one is Bloom Richardson grade. All right, so these are the things which we see, and so this is the main sort of approach we're going to see. But let me talk something important about breast conservation surgery, which is more of an important thing to be taken care. But one more thing, I think it needs to be discussed, is tumor markers, right? I think tumor markers also carry more of an importance. So they are also supposed to be discussed heavily. Tumor markers, importantly, which can be seen over here, are the most important tumor markers I'm going to discuss. Biological is ERPR. You know, these are steroid markers, ERPR and HER2NU. These are important markers. Apart from this, on immunohistochemistry, CEA, CA15-2, CA15-3, CA27-29. For us, important is CEA, CA15-2 and CA15-3. These are three important markers which we need to see. Okay, so that's the thing. Now, the breast carcinoma staging and the lymph node involvement, it's important, but it's very elaborative, so it's not possible for me to cover over here. And let's skip this thing and come to the treatment directly. All right, so in LSIS, what are we going to do? The first is close surveillance and chemo prevention. That is most important. Second thing is for the DCIS or ductal carcinoma in situ, what are we going to do is we'll make a wide local excision. Wide local excision with a margin of 1 centimeter. When are we going to do with this? When the lesion is less than 4 centimeters. Okay, when the lesion is less than 4 centimeter. Because it carries a very, very, very beautiful prognosis. Otherwise, what we can do is, in the bigger lesions, we can do is breast conservation surgery plus radiotherapy. Other thing is simple mastectomy. When are we going to do simple mastectomy? When a lesion is a very big lesion, it is multicentric, widely spread. If the carcinoma histopathology is very aggressive, like Chemido pattern, it's ER negative and it's a high grade. So at that point of time, simple mastectomy is the treatment which are we supposed to do. ERPR status makes a difference, but it is before starting treatment. So these are the things I wanted to discuss with you guys, although the treatment part was not more of an elaborative thing, but I think I discussed most of the important things with you guys. which were really important for the discussion thing. So I hope you had a beautiful session today with me, and I hope in upcoming days I bring a good session again for you guys. So till then, study hard, exams are coming close, FMG dates have already been declared, and I mean the form filling has already started from today. So let's pick up the speed and clear all of the exams, and everybody is going to fight.